we turn back further from where we just left off into Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Each year, our congregation adopts a verse or more that we call our theme verses, our motto text, to challenge us on a particular feature of the Christian life. And we alternate from the Old to the New Testament. I won't be so bold as to ask anyone what our 2013 verses were. Like the woman who returned after being under a certain minister's ministry. And she said, you know, I really profited from those many years under your ministry. And he said, and she said, the messages always seem to hit right at home. And he said, any in particular? And she says, no, I don't remember any of them. But at first he was a little discouraged as she said that. But she said, you know I was cleaner after them. So I trust that God's Word cleanses us as we read in Ephesians. And I trust that as we consider last year's memory verses that we're cleaner for them, from them. But the verses that were our elders and I have prayerfully, I trust, agreed upon and would challenge all of us in the new year are Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9, but I'd like to commence at verse 1 in the context. Joshua is making preparation for the conquest of Canaan, a formidable duty to replace Moses. Can you imagine trying to replace Moses? And he's fearful of that responsibility. He's certainly concerned about facing all those giants in Canaan and having to lead many, many soldiers and make strategic decisions that affect the lives of people and their families. And he needs a word from the Lord. And the Lord gives him that word that's necessary. And I think it's a word for us. Maybe you're feeling the daunted task of a new year and maybe a new job or concerns about finding a job or finding a mate or reaching souls for Christ or seeing family members seek the Lord. And a lot of these things just seem like giants to you and me, and they are. We need the Lord's help. We need a word from the Lord to encourage us and help us along these in these challenges of 2014. And God is up to the task. Let us trust in Him. Let this be a word for us today. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Would you please repeat with me our memory verses for 2014, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. A subject worthy, I think, of repeat over and over again, and I think we've pondered this subject at least a couple times in 2013, but it's like many subjects worthy of repetition. 2014 is an exhortation to meditation on the Word of God. I believe it's a key to the Christian life. You know, we are what we think. It's like we are what we eat. But a proverb says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We all meditate, think about a dominant subject throughout the day, and we certainly need to in our professions. To be a good employee for the Lord. But what about in our free time? There's still things that dominate our thinking. And would they not reveal what we are, what we deem most important, what our priorities are in life, what dominates our thinking when we drive, when we stand in line, when we wait to fall asleep, when we wait to roll out of bed? You're full of anxiety. We're agitated people. We're worrying people. The things of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, we're worldly people. It's a thoughtless society, though, in a real sense, because society lacks compassion. When I was a child, it seemed that the door would open and the women would go through first. It just seems like it's a self-centered society, robotic and mindless and automated. We run on instinct rather than on instruction from God's Word. We're flesh-driven instead of being Spirit-led. I challenge us to be a thoughtful people, a people who meditate in God's Word, who go deeper than the surface, that we are not artificial, superficial Christians. Again, we can all see many of the means of worship that we engage in, but we can't see meditation, but God can. He sees deep in the heart, and He sees if we mean business for Him, if we love Him with all of our heart and our mind, as well as showing our external engagement in worship. So I trust that we'll take this to heart at the beginning of this new year, that God would make us a people that meditate in His Word throughout the day, and that we'll see so many benefits from this great privilege of thinking about the Lord on purpose. Perhaps you're thinking of the verse in Ecclesiastes, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." It was the verse that the devotional was from. It's in our bulletin. And I liked the statement that he made, that verse is not just for the young. You begin to remember, to think about on purpose, to meditate on your Creator when you're young, but it's also for those that aren't young. It's also for all of us to continue thinking about the Lord. And how often have we said this? It's not just how you begin that's important. It is important how we begin. We must be born again. But it's also important how we end our lives. There's a difference between how Paul ended his life and how Solomon ended his life. And may God help us through this deep love for God to be able to continue and end our lives for the glory of His name. I believe it's a significant means of worshiping the Lord that no one should omit and fall short of. Now, what is the meaning of meditation? Maybe it's self-explanatory. I liked Morgan's definition, thinking deeply about something. It means to think, to reflect, to rehearse something. But it means to think on purpose. It's one thing I have to think about this subject for an exam or because I'm going to be asked questions in Sunday school or because, you know, it's just part of our devotional time. It's another thing to think about our Creator when we're not supposed to, when we're not pressured into doing so. And just like it says, remember my death until I come, it's more than just a brief thought at the Lord's table. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be continuing to remember Him, though we do so in that animated fashion when the Word of God, as it were, is dramatized at the Lord's table. When by taking the bread and the fruit of the vine, we symbolize our taking in the Word of God and the truths of Christ. So we are to take in the Word by meditation and remember the Lord on purpose, not only at the Lord's table, but throughout our lives. But to refuse to let others think for us. This is a society where we let others think for us. I mean, that's the whole purpose behind the television, when you think about it. If you're a person that watches television for hours, you're basically letting others do the thinking for you. And we need to be a people that are thoughtful. We need to be careful about what dominates our time. We need to resist a thoughtless life. We need to exercise the intellect, or we'll lose it, as it were. Just like when we take in food, we chew it, we taste it, we swallow it. So with the Word of God, we don't just open our mouths and take it in, but by meditation we chew on it, we taste it, we swallow it, and it becomes part of us and goes into every part of our spiritual being. So is the purpose and the result of meditation. We compare Scripture with Scripture, as the Bereans did. We ask and answer questions. We seek. We enjoy. We pray over. It's not just this moment, though it is important. This moment is important as the Lord Jesus, as it were, takes the bread of His Word and feeds us. As the Bereans received the Word with all readiness of mind, they received it with preparation. But afterwards, it says, they searched the Scriptures daily. They meditated on it. They mulled over it. They compared it with other Scriptures. They asked each other questions. They reminded each other to put to practice what they heard as Paul preached. So may the Lord help us. And again, I challenge us. Will we set aside time for meditation? It's one thing to say, all right, here's the meaning of it. Here are the blessings of it. And then, do we put it to practice? It means that we have to set it as a priority. God is setting it as a priority for Joshua. I mean, here's a man that's going to be as busy as can be, the leader of the army. You know, it's one thing if the Lord started out, you know, you need to be really, really adept with the sword. I'm sure that was important. And you need to be, you know, out in front, and you need to have great strategies. It's kind of like what he does later on with Joshua, before he takes Jericho and the people have crossed over. The Lord meets with Joshua and he says, get on your face. I mean, here's Joshua excited about the first battle. He can't sleep, no doubt. He's just all ready to go in the battle. And the Lord says, take time to be holy. You're not prepared for the battle unless you're taking time to be holy. Unless you prepare your heart. It's a heart battle. It's a mind battle. And the Lord is saying to us, we're not going to see His blessings unless we commune with Him. Unless we meditate on Him. Unless we love Him. That's going to clear the way for us in our battles. in our lives for 2014. If we give the Lord our hearts and our minds, as Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment of all? To love the Lord with all of our hearts and souls and minds and strength. And what is an exhibition of that? Meditation is a deep, invisible, real exhibition of love for God. And I hope you're not saying this morning, here's another thing on the list that I need to do for 2014. May I say, this is the top of the list, one of the top parts of the list. If we're to have God's blessing and go on with the Lord and see others really influenced by the Spirit of God working in our lives, we need to prioritize it. And we need to simply say, you know, I need to take time to do this. I need a purpose. If I don't purpose to do this, it's not going to happen. You and I know that. It's the things that we purpose to do that we do. Things that we put on our lists that we fulfill each day. And somehow we think that just, you know, knowing this and not really putting it to practical use, like putting it on a piece of paper or putting it as a priority, that we think we're just going to automatically fulfill it. And we know that's not true. It's motivation. I'm sure there are many incentives, but there's a divine command here. Thou shalt meditate, he says to Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, this is no option. As the commander of the armed forces of the Lord's people, I want you to be a spiritual man. I could have chosen many people that were skilled at this position, but I want a man of God. I want you to be like you were when you went out with the spies and you could see through. You saw the giants with the eyes of faith. You were looking at me as the giant of giants. But you went out and your heart was prepared and you were meditating on my glory when you saw those giants. And that didn't intimidate you. And I want you to lead my army in the same way. I want you to be a spiritual man. I want you to continue to be a man of God. And you're going to be a man of God if you meditate on the Word of God. The Lord is speaking to us. It's a connecting means of worship. It's a way to approach deity. It's a way that God, the God of heaven, wants us to approach Him. This is the protocol. God says, here's how to approach me. You know, you go to the, if you ever visit the president, there's a huge protocol. Dress and behavior and just different things in which you prepare to be in His presence. And the Lord says, if you want to approach me, I want you to approach me with meditation. I want you to draw near to me thoughtfully. And certainly singing and reading Scripture and praying and fasting and giving and teaching, all these are means of worshiping and approaching God. But the deepest of them all, is it not, is the meditation on the Word that we've read. Meditation, even in our prayer time, meditation is the deepest of them all. It's a challenge I'd like us to take this year, to be a people that meditate. The matter, thirdly, the object of meditation, he tells us, it's the book of the law. It's all that is written therein. God in His wisdom has given us Scriptures, written words. He could have given us a message every week from an angel, taking it, winging it to us, or in a dream, or visions like the prophets of old received the Word of God. But in God's wisdom, He's given it in a fashion that all peoples around the world can have the same Scriptures and be on the same page, as it were. And we've been studying this in Sabbath school, how God has attested His ancient Word more than any other documents of antiquity. He's given us 5,800, or still discovering more, 5,800 manuscripts of the New Testament Scriptures, over 2 million pages. And some of them are within 150 to 150 years from the originals. In Joshua's case, all they had was the Pentateuch. When he said, this book of the law, these words that have been written, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate on them. He didn't have Judges. He didn't have Matthew. He didn't have Revelation. They had the Pentateuch. And I'm not sure whether they had that completed yet. Moses, as he was writing the Scriptures, my assumption is he had the Pentateuch. Let me ask you, if you were in jail and you couldn't have if you had only the Pentateuch, could you live by it? It was sufficient for them. What if you and I only had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus? So next one, children, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all we had. Could you live off the first five books of the Bible? But God has preserved 66 books of the Bible, hasn't He? What a feast we have. Plenty of fodder for our meditation, isn't it? It's a buffet of truth, isn't it? Many of us like buffets. You like the variety of different foods. But man cannot live by bread alone. We can't live by shrimp alone. You can't live by chicken on a stick alone. You can't. Our souls will be famished. But the buffet of truth. We have poetry to comfort us, prophecy to give us hope, history to encourage us, and God's mighty acts, threats to warn us, doctrine to inform us and to cause us to believe, promises to espouse, mandates to follow, miracles to inspire, judgments to cause fear, divine attributes to delight our hearts. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. That's when we really get to the marrow. Not just meditation on His promises, which are precious. Meditation on duties and meditation on privileges, but meditation on Him. Just Him. Let me just meditate on Him today. Not what He can do for me, though there are many things that He says He does for us. But I wonder, does it just delight us to delight in the Lord? Delight thyself in the Lord. Does it delight our hearts just to meditate on the words of Christ or meditate on the descriptions of God, on the miracles of God? It should. Seven times in the Psalm of the Word, Psalm 119, meditation or meditate are mentioned. What else should we do with the Word but meditate on it? That's our fodder. That's the matter. That's the object of our meditation. It's a buffet for us. If only we'll buy into it. If only we'll choose that as our favorite restaurant. Tell you what, meditate will facilitate so many things. As the Lord says here, He mentions at least three things that meditation will facilitate. But that's just a sampling of what it facilitates. What that means is they're byproducts of meditation. Meditation is going to help obey God, for instance. Notice what He says. I think that that's why I think the main idea of these two verses is meditation, not obedience. This book of the law shall not depart out of your, thou shalt do all that's therein. Not even verbalizing the truth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Not even courage. Those could be subjects that we consider by themselves. But I think meditation is the key here. A deep walk with God, a deep fellowship with God. That's going to inspire our obedience. That's going to cause a natural outflow of words, of truth from us. That's going to instill courage in us when the Word is incarnate. And not just something that's on the edges of our brains. He says, for instance, this meditation will help you to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice the connection. Meditation leads to obedience. I'm talking about obedience from the heart, not just simply, again, robotic obedience. Okay, I've got to open my Bible today. My parents are going to look over my shoulders. or I've got to bring my Bible to church because it's just the thing to do. But that as we meditate on God's Word, it comes from the heart, that when God's Word is incarnate, when it lives in us, it settles down into our souls, it facilitates our obedience, it gives us a desire, we become full of truth. We're clothed with God's Word. We're surrounded by God who speaks, for He speaks through His Word. As it were, a surround sound when you and I meditate. It's the Word that dominates our life. And as we live, we're living out the Word. We tell the truth not because, well, we don't want to be caught. We tell the truth because truth's in us. We resist temptation because the Word has so resounded with that caution to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Christ's likeness, which the Spirit produces in us by meditation on the Word, is evident in obedience. It promotes carefulness, you'll observe to do. It propels action, you'll do. It provides a thorough consideration, all that is written therein. This is what meditation helps. Obedience that's careful, it's active, and it's thorough. We're not selective in our obedience. I'll obey the Lord in this and this and this, but you know, I don't want Him to touch that skeleton in my closet. Oh no. When the Word of God sinks down into us, we give Him our hearts. And we say, Lord, touch whatever you need to touch. Burst my bubble. Let me come out of my comfort zone for the glory of your name. I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, you know, I resisted God's word to be an evangelist, to reach souls for Christ. Or I refused to give my testimony. I refused to talk about Christ. Maybe that's something where the Lord would put His finger on. But I'll tell you again, unless you meditate in God's Word, the weaknesses and the things that we shy away from that are clear instructions of God's Word, they'll become natural to us. God will see us leap over walls, as He says, that you'll leap over troops, right? We'll leap over walls. You'll run through troops. Do you think it was natural for Joshua to stand up to those giants and Caleb? They were men of like passion, like the other 10 spies. What was it that was a key in the lives of those two spies? The Word was in their souls. As they listened to Moses, they didn't just listen out of habit and this is the thing we ought to do. They took it in, just like Mary. She kept these things by pondering them in her heart, Luke tells us. That's why when it came time for Jesus to die, she wasn't screaming and howling and say, how can you do this to my son? She was quietly weeping, but recognizing He was there as the Son of God and as the Son of Man to die for my sins. It was meditation that caused her to understand the atonement, that poise, when most mothers would have just broken. Psalm 1. Meditation will keep you negatively from evil and evil companions, but positively, oh, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day, and I wonder what's first. Is it the word or the meditation? We say yes. It's when we begin to meditate that we begin to love God. When God sees, we think about Him on purpose. Think about your own marriage relationship or people that are in love with one another. A marriage relationship where people aren't, the husband and wife aren't thinking about each other on purpose in down times and free times is not a relationship that's going forward. Oh, I have to remember flowers. It's her birthday. Or I have to remember flowers. It's her anniversary. Those are nice. Those are times, important times to remember our spouse. But it's when we bring flowers in between the birthday and the anniversary. It's when we're thinking about our spouse when we're driving and give them a call. How you doing? where they see that it's not just a compartmentalized relationship, where love is deep, love is free, love is volunteering, love is on purpose. And the Lord sees the heart. He says, "Son, give me thy heart. I want your heart. Away with offerings," he said to Israel. "I know you give your tithes and your offerings. Away, I want your heart," he said through Malachi. It's easy just to give token gestures to the Lord, but he wants the heart. He wants the heart. Obedience will be facilitated. Conversation about the Lord will be facilitated. You notice that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's a way of saying what? Truth will flow out of your normal conversation. It'll not depart out of your mouth. If you're meditating, it's like a volcano. If there's lava that's welling up, it's filling up that crevice. And it's bubbling up. What's going to happen? That's actually an illustration in Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I believe that's the illustration of a volcano. I believe I must speak, therefore, the prophet said, and Paul said this. If it's in our hearts, if the Word of God is filling the crevices of our soul, it's going to boil up. The book of the law will not depart from your mouth if you're meditating on it day and night. And we get the cart before the horse and we say, you have to evangelize. You have to tell people about Jesus. Tell them your testimony. And we know those things are things that we ought to do. But you know, the horse comes first, as it were. The challenge is, it's got to get in the heart or it's not going to come out of the mouth. It'll get old. It'll be temporary. It'll be momentary. And that's why I think often we find that the times that are easier for us to be a witness and to share the gospel are right after we've heard the word. And that's practical. That's natural. But as the time goes on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays, that's why it's so important. It's not just a matter of, here is the preacher challenging us, daily devotions and family devotions. Those things are exhibitions of love toward God, not just things we should do as Christians. They're so practical. And I find I'm dried up like a dry tree if I'm not reading and searching God's Word and taking time to pray and call upon my God. I find that my mouth is shut in the driver's room at Springville. My mouth is shut in Walmart. My mouth is shut. But I find when I have spent time with the Lord and His Word has flowed through me and filled the crevices of my soul, it's like my mouth opens automatically and it's natural. That's the way we want it. We want to be naturally spiritual and spiritually natural, but it ain't going to happen unless we meditate. And again, it's a matter of, okay, here's, I need to meditate, but there's the practicality. It's got to be a priority in my life from now on. I've got to practice it. I've got to ask my wife, my husband, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, remind me, please. This is so important in my life. I can't forget it. Please remind me to remember the Lord and keep His Word deep in my heart. It will not depart out of your mouth. It'll be the dominant and delightful theme in your conversation, in your teaching, in your dialogue. Speech flows from the inner fountain. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Obedience, conversation are facilitated by meditation. Courage. See how courage comes in here. Be strong and of a good courage. How does this relate to meditation? It relates a lot. Again, you're full of truth that God is on the throne, that God is all powerful, if your mind and your heart are filled with remembrances of God opening the earth and swallowing up all those rebels, and Christ rising from the dead, and God causing a worldwide flood and creating the worlds with the word of his mouth, and walking on the water and healing the deaf and the lame and the blind and saving the chief antagonist of the church, Saul of Tarsus, no giant will stand in your way. The giants will look like pygmies. And even all of our problems would seem, and they are large and looming in our lives. Is it a financial problem? The Lord caused Peter to go down and catch a fish that had a coin in its mouth. God will provide. He's Jehovah Jireh. Is it a physical need? He certainly can heal. But you and I know the day is going to come when we're not going to get healed anymore. We're not going to get sick from that, or we're not going to get well from that sickness. I had a funeral for a woman that was, as I could see, perfectly well the Sunday before. I showed up last Sunday and she's gone. She's gone. One of the few believers in the service that now I have to say goodbye to. But what a privilege it was. About 70 lost people that heard the gospel. Because she died and the privilege came because of her death. Just maybe like Samson, that more people were won in her death than in her life. I get courage will spring from a life of meditation. It will be rewarding. The Lord says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We're not talking about the health, wealth gospel. What's prosperous for the Christian? What's successful? Growing in grace, victories over sin, resistance to temptation, discernment of spirits, spiritual surprises from God, winning of souls, being helpful to see backsliders restored. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruit in its season. And out of season, you'll not be like the heath, like the tumbleweed. Meditation is critical for the Christian life. It's like one brother said, you know, when we open our Bibles, whether it's morning or afternoon or evening for you, you know what's best. Some of us are early birds. Some of us are owls. But the key is, do you read the Bible? Search the Scriptures. But that's picking up the receiver, isn't it? Because you only can talk a while. You can only read a while. You got to go on your businesses at your workplace or other places. But remember what that brother said. Don't hang up on the Lord. Meditation is keeping the receiver up to your ear. Let us read our Bibles. Let us have our personal devotions. Fathers, mothers, have your family devotions. It is our responsibility to teach our children and our spouses the Word of God. Let us not fail at that. We can fail at many things, and they won't matter, as it were. But it will matter if we fail at leading our families in the way of God. But let us, as we live out our days, keep the receiver off the hook. Let's not hang up on the Lord. Let us meditate day and night. Let us read, let us retain, and let us remember. Be challenged. Take this challenge, this call, this exhortation to meditation again, brother and sister. And it's something that we'll return to, no doubt, shortly. Pray for me. Pray for me. I can often be such a thoughtless person, and I find out when I rise up, when my flesh rises up, at the end of the day, say, you know, I've been so thoughtless. I've forgotten the Lord. His word has not saturated my soul. What a blessing. God, the God of heaven says, think about me. Think about me. We can know that His thoughts toward us are more than can be numbered. May we be able to begin thinking about the Lord where we won't be able to count thoughts. He is so precious to us.